Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show.
This show is dedicated to my son, Christopher, and my daughter, Caitlin, who is turning 8 years old today. Happy birthday.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. It is a great day here in the South. I'll tell you, it's a nice warm spring. How about in your area? Time to say get outside and start cooking some great food and also be able to connect with a lot of nature and hear a lot of other people's stories, you know, how their winter was, how their summer is going to be, and how much they're enjoying the spring. It's really all about movement and flow this year, 2015. It's about finding things that nurture your soul, some things that will lighten up your spirit, and definitely we've got to lighten that load. Anything we can get rid of, more the better. Today we're going to be talking about a book from Eric Johnson, which is Tales from the Cook. Yeah, I really thought this was an interesting book, and it's definitely off the realm of health and wellness, but I thought it was something light to listen to and something to enjoy potentially with your grandchildren or even just have fun to be able to look at this book and say, oh my gosh, that's such a funny story. And I think it's a particularly great book, especially for those in their late teens and they're going off to college, to send them off with something just to enjoy and say, here's a few recipes. You just never know. These recipes in this book are really easy. A lot of people can do them. Older people may relate to them and they'll say, oh, I know that one, but, and then the space you can write on there. You can write on the side and say, oh, but I added this and I added that, and then give it as a gift to your younger people in your family. It's really a great book also to cook with children. So today we're going to be talking about Tales from the Cook, and Eric is with us today. Eric, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Don't you think this is a great book? I think, you know, elders all the way down, it's really all about just enjoying life and reading a funny story and adding your own little tips to all of those recipes that you've added, right?
I do. It was an absolute pleasure to write. I had fun with each and every story and the recipes. They've all been cooked and tested 10 times over.
I think generations and generations over, so maybe we'll get into that one. So can you tell us a little bit, Eric, how you wrote this book? Because it is definitely a different type. I mean, we've done cookbooks on this show before. Vegans, vegetarians, paleo diets, Peruvian diets, you know, all kinds of different recipes and cookbooks, and yours is totally, totally something different.
I've always heard stories behind people's recipes about how their mom's baked cookies or grandma's apple pie or the can of bacon grease that was used on the stovetop.
And I did that all the time.
And I thought, well, where are the real stories behind this? You know, you look at, right, at the folklore behind these, you look at the folklore behind cooking, And you think, my goodness, we need to have a story behind this, something to entertain, something to inspire people, parents, and children to get in the kitchen and cook, also to entertain them.
You know, and I when you said about the can of bacon grease on the counter, I always remember it used to be, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, so, you know, I'm definitely almost 60 now, and I have a lot of those stories. And we used to get the can of Crisco, you know, and you would always use up the can, and then whatever grease you had left, you poured back in the can. So it got to be tradition. If the bottom didn't fall out of the can of Crisco, you just always used it. It was on the stove, you know. And everybody reused their oil that way. And now you look at it, people reuse the oil until it turns really a funky color. It really is not great. And, you know, I live in New Orleans now, and what we have is we have trucks that come up and down to the restaurants, and they're these big tanker trucks, and they collect the, quote, bad oil. And it's a crazy thing, you know, and I'm sure everybody's got all kinds of stories. So there's one right there about oils, right?
Absolutely. And that's now on my list of something to write.
Absolutely. You know, and it's a funny... And it's the funniest thing. We have this recipe. We are Polish and Lithuanian by our ancestors. And even just my great-grandmother always spoke Polish and Lithuanian, you know, around the house. So it's not that far back. And we always make this recipe for what we call, it's called koshi. It's stuffing around Thanksgiving time. And so many of the relatives will say, well, my mother never shared the recipe with me. I don't know what it is. And, you know, now that we're older, a lot of the relatives have passed on and there aren't recipes there. Yet I've been making it, you know, every Thanksgiving. And it's so funny when the relatives speak about it afterwards, because they say, you know, oh, I remember always having to help, or I remember that aunt's, hers is dry, and that aunt's, hers is greasy, you know, and that aunt's, hers is so different. So you could tell how the stories go down to the generations. And the biggest story we had about it was, is that it's such a very basic recipe, but for some reason, every single time one of the relatives makes it, we forget something in the recipe. We don't know why, because I guess we're probably doing it from memory, but we always forget something. And there's always tales of, I had to pull the stuffing out, I forgot the eggs. It was already starting to cook, you know, a half an hour. I dumped all the eggs in, mixed it all back up, and shoved that thing back in, you know. So I think a lot of people have these stories. They just don't share them with their, you know, other people, and they don't write them down, so they kind of get lost through the decades.
Well, that is one of my main goals, is to help create the mythology, the family folklore of food, so it can be carried throughout the generations. The smell of good cookies evokes so many memories in children and in young adults. They think, oh, they think about mom and they think about grandma, and it's such an emotional state that the smell of cooking induces in people, and it brings back just the love of family.
You know, and I think sometimes we look back those old recipes and we say, oh, we're a much healthier nation now. We would never think to do that. And I look at my stuffing recipe, and it is the most unhealthy thing in the entire world. But I look at it, and the relatives are like, oh, I would never make that in these days and age. And I said, but you know what? Do you realize that recipe was actually because Polish and Irish people were very, very, very poor in the mid-1800s and late 1800s. That's when they started to do this recipe. And really all they had was back fat, which everybody calls back fat. It's just really grease off the meat.
Mm.
And they would use back fat, rice, and potatoes. And that's all that's in it, you know, with a few extra things. But those things were very cheap. They could find them off the land. They could scavenge them, you know, and be able to get that. And when
and
you make
using...
it, I think you're, Yeah, I think you really need to, but when you make it, I think you really need to say, you know, look how far we've come as a ancestry lineage and how important that is, and that we don't have to survive that way anymore, and, you know, thank them for being able to survive or we wouldn't be here today. And I think that's so important. People don't put that down in writing and they don't even think about it or talk about it. So I'll continue to make it, you know, and think about it every year. And that's vitally important in families.
Absolutely. Carrying on the family traditions is very important. And people did use what was available to eat. Another food is salt cod, which unfortunately is getting ever harder to find these days, where they make some dishes called braan dod, which is mashed potatoes and salt cod, and then fried into cakes. And that was that was a family recipe of mine. And even today, I bought a box of salt cod the other day. My mom saw the box, and she immediately remembered when I was a baby, and she started relating how the 1 pound of salt cod only cost $1 and how cheap it was. And now, on average, it's $15 per box.
Yeah. It's a big difference, isn't it? Yeah, and potatoes, you know, grow in the ground. And even when I make the stuffing now, you know, for Thanksgiving, it used to be so inexpensive, you know, 10 pounds of potatoes, you know, a bag of rice and, you know, a half a gallon of milk and you're good to go, you know, with all the oils. But now it's like even that oil will cost you $10 and you're going, oh, no, you know, it's... Things have gotten so expensive, but they've also gone out of favor, you know. So a lot of times when we look at these recipes, we say, I would never use white flour again, or I don't even know what that word means. But just look at it, and you can take the recipes you have in your book, or others can compile their own books and be able to have that information and say, well, let's just cross this out, leave it there, because it made its mark in our life already, and just add our new little side piece on what we might adjust to it, and keep that book and, you know, pass that down. You know, I'm really getting into a fit this year, 2015, about people have all these stories. They have all this stuff in their head and in their body, and they don't want to share it. They're like, oh, well, don't you remember? And I'm going, no, I don't remember. Why don't you tell me? You know, so a lot of this, we really want to make our mark on life, but we're putting everything on the computer, and it's like it's living in Yoo-hoo land, you know? Nobody ever sees stuff on your computer.
No, they don't. One of the trends that has taken place with the cell phone and the camera is that people take the pictures of everything that they eat. And in a sense, that is a way of recording the flavors and the recipes of what they are doing. To show everyone, hey, I had this great meal at so-and-so's house, or I ate this wonderful thing from this street vendor at the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And so that, in a sense, can be compared to the way traditionally, as our grandparents, saying as parents born between 1900 and 1940, would talk about the food and the traditions and how they prepared things. Also, with the advent of industrialization in our food systems, we've lost a little bit of that. Everything, if you go to the grocery store, 85-90% is prepackaged and processed food. And it's convenient. It's easy to pop in the microwave and you have instant dinner, which in a way detracts from people sitting down and cooking. And you could compare it to going a family sitting around a fire, a campfire, the hearth, where people gathered and they cooked together and they had time to sit and eat and talk, whereas many families leave the TV on or they just grab a quick bite because they're so busy doing whatever it is that they're doing. Both parents are working, kids are overloaded with homework, and there just isn't that time. And I think taking the time to have that moment is really important and a neglected moment. So that's another thing I like to urge, is people to sit down and talk and eat. You know, come
Absolutely.
To my kitchen.
You know what? And I've even found here in New Orleans, we have a Whole Foods market. And, you know, I'm familiar with Whole Foods from, you know, way in the beginning when they started. And if you go to the different states, it's different in other states. Yet here in New Orleans, you know, people say, always you should, as we as physicians always say, you're supposed to shop the outskirts of your grocery store. Well, we've been changing and morphing this Whole Foods lately. And when you come in the door, it's vegetables and fruits that are already cut up in containers with the salad dressing and all the other things there. And all you're doing is just buying that meal already done. You don't even cut your stuff up. In other words, it used to be like hundreds of varieties, and they still tout hundreds of varieties, but they have like maybe two bundles of beets, you know, and maybe one piece of this or whatever, instead of having the produce there. They've got all this cut-up stuff now. Then you go to the back, and it's all the prepared meat. You know, if you go to the butcher, they'll cook it and they'll prepare it, and it's all done there. Then you go across the other side, and it's, you know, all of there. You can come in and you can get pizza and sandwiches or whatever. Then you go to the bakery, and they cut your bread, and they'll make your sandwich there. And it's really, if you go around the outskirts of it, it's already done for you. You really can just pick up your meal and go home. So what is the point of even having a grocery store these days when it's all already done for you? It's almost like this... just a more elaborate fast food place starting to become.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It's all marketing. It's point of sale. What they want is for you to go and say, oh, there's the pineapple. It's already cut up. I don't have to cut up the pineapple. Here are the apples. Right. They've been soaked in a bleach solution with citric acid so they don't discolor. Boom, you grab that. And away you go to the cash register. And it's not healthy. It's not healthy emotionally, and it's not healthy, you know, physically. I mean, why would someone want to eat something that's prepared 2,000 miles away by someone who they don't know or a machine? Mm-hmm. And who knows what's happened to it between the point it goes from the farm to your table? It's beyond me. I don't get it. There's something that's so wonderful about making the food yourself, you know, from each and every little step and mixing all the ingredients where you can control what goes in your food. And admittedly, America has an obesity problem. America has a diabetes problem. Where are these problems coming from? Obviously, the food source. So what do you have to look at? What are we eating? People aren't taking the time to cook, and they're just accepting these foods that are processed and chemicalized, and we see the result. And it's tragic. So I could never stress enough that people need to cook. They need to make time in their lives to get the fresh produce, to get the fresh meat, the food that doesn't have the chemicals added to it, the animals that haven't been pumped through antibiotics, and cook. You know, it doesn't take but a little bit of planning to make all of it happen. And you can involve your children. You can involve your spouse in the kitchen. You know, children that are 4 years old, they can wash and tear lettuce. They can peel a carrot. They can peel a potato. And as children get older, you know, they can eventually work their way up to using the chef's knife, and they can learn about the batonnet, which is the French fry cut, or how to dice something in a medium dice or a brunoise, and it's so important because you create lifelong skills. And as you cook with your children, you can learn about math, you can learn history, you can learn about other cultures, you can the educational opportunities are infinite, and it's also built a stronger family bond, which is very, very important.
You know, it's the biggest farce, I think, of the food world is going to come out this year. And what it is this citric acid issue, because a lot of people are saying that I'm eating this for anti-inflammation. You know, they pick up their fruits and vegetables that are already altered from their original state, we'll say. And, you know, they're getting doused in this citric acid. And that citric acid is really an acid. It is something that's going to take your pH, and you're no longer going to be alkaline, which is anti-inflammatory. You're now going to be acidic. So what you think is doing the job is no longer. It's just, in other words, we always call it a snake in the grass on this radio. You know, how many times do we have snake in the grass? That citric acid is right now a snake in the grass, and we always talk about this all the time.
I mean, well, then when you eat lots of processed wheats and processed grains, it's a condition I believe they called acidosis, where your pH is off balance, and that causes numerous health problems. You know, you have to look at intestinal health. How is your body processing? How is your body digesting the foods? And if you are one way or the other way, beyond the, what is it, 7.34 on the pH scale, which is for humans, I mean, think of all the health problems that come with it. You know, you're not breaking down the sugars properly. You're not breaking down the complex and simple carbohydrates. And what happens is your blood sugar spikes, your body produces more insulin to compensate for that, and then you go into insulin shock, and then voila, you are diabetic. And that's something that people need to be educated about, eating healthy.
And it's
more
definitely about paying attention to it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Read your labels, eat plenty of fruits and vegetables, you know, moderation. A pint of ice cream is not a single serving. It's four, maybe five, you know. But
That's right.
And I'm guilty as everyone else. Sometimes it is one serving, but you don't do it, you know, 10 times a month. You know, that box of cookies, it's not a single serving, although my kids would argue with that one. But, you know, 2-3 cookies were good. 10, not so good. Anyway, it's moderation.
Let's talk about your book. I absolutely love, I mean, the stories, so to the listeners, there's a short story. It can be about one or two paragraphs, or it could be one or two pages. And then right after that, there is a very simple recipe. And
right.
I thought some of the recipes were the funniest things, because they would say just different little general words that would be in the recipes, you know, that you as the readers, you really need to read the story first to be able to get it. But I really think that my best story, I love the story of The Witch of Catfish Prairie. Can you tell us a little bit about that story and then a little bit about the recipe? Because that one was so funny. And it relates to today. So these aren't stories that, you know, you're saying, I don't get it. It doesn't pay much attention. But right off in the first paragraph, it says, you know, what was it saying? Let's see. Hang on. Oh, and it says about the light root, dark root, tasty, not gluten-free. You know, it brings you right up to today's date. So it's really talking about different ideas and concepts all across generations.
Well, Raya Davies, I was listening to the Kinks when I got the idea for the song. Ray Davies, Raya Davies. And I was thinking about witches and ghosts. I think I wrote this around Halloween. And I thought, well, where's the cookie incantations? You know, hear me, O great mother of sauces, scoop of butter equal part flour, thickening agent of three. Well, three of the five mother sauces are thickened with roux. And I thought, huh. And I had been talking with someone about Cajun cooking. And I was thinking, and it all came together. It's you know, as a writer, you could be vacuuming or walking down the street, and all of a sudden the idea, because it comes out of nowhere. And so I thought, well, what if she has a cooking coven, like a witch's coven? But the character in here, who she has as her apprentice, really wants just to be a witch. And so she says, I thought we were gonna practice magic. I wanna be a witch, not a sandwich maker. And so I don't know, it's when you write it, things just come. And then I've got a lot of parody in here. Sigmund Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays, he is well known for his marketing for controlling and manipulating the masses. And so I figured that we should make his name not Bernays, but actually Bernays is in the sauce, and he
mm-hmm.
should have... and so if you, I don't know, I read so many different books, such a large variety of psychology books, of history, of marketing books. I read everything. Anyway, but let's get to the recipe. Etouffee. I was in New Orleans, speaking of New Orleans, and the bartender said that if you don't make a good etouffee, you can't have a decent relationship. So
mm-hmm.
I was thinking. And then I was looking at the map of Louisiana, and there's a lake called Catfish Prairie. I thought, wow. And then, voila, catfish etouffee. And so that is the birth of this recipe and story.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's the funniest part about the story, because really when you're talking even about the recipe, you're saying it in such a light tone. You know, on the recipe instructions is head over to Sam Culpepper's place for the cornbread recipe. And it's like, you know, what? You know, that's not supposed to be a part of the directions. And then next it says use Sam's cornbread batter like pancake batter and then eat.
Mm.
And it's like, what? Eat on a recipe? You know, we always see all of these ways that recipes should be written. Yeah, and it's like, this is your template and make sure you follow it, and everything's always been like that forever.
Right.
But this is just something that is so light and it's so refreshing, and it's just like, if you just want to have fun. And you know what? Forgive me, but I'm in New Orleans and we always think of things like this. We say, it's a recipe and a story to have a glass of wine to cook. You know?
I
and
like
I think
that thing. I've never heard that.
Yeah, and I think it's so wonderful, you know, because here in Louisiana, you know, there's always liquor on the shelf, you know, wine or liquor or whatever, and almost everything you
yeah.
cook, something goes in it. I mean, when we get turtle soup, sherry goes in it, you know. When I made, what did I make the other day? Oh, goodness, I'm trying to remember. Oh, I made beef stew, so red wine went in it. I made chicken soup. I put amaretto in it. You know, just crazy things. And it's just whatever on your counter or goes in the pot that you're making for supper, you know.
Yeah,
we just do
absolutely.
That. And it was the funniest thing to be able to see, you know, is that this is just such a lighthearted book, and I thought it was a wonderful addition. You know, you could give this to an elder person that'll say, oh, my goodness, you know, I'm feeling kind of down today. And they could read through this book, and they'll go, and you could look over, and they'd be laughing. They would think it's funny because they can relate, you know. Or even if children are reading it, or somebody in their 18 or 20-year-old era, they would say, oh, my
yeah.
gosh, my grandmother used to do that, or isn't that funny? I never heard of that. And I think that's your goal.
That is one of my many goals. The main goal is to entertain people, to take some of the tension and the mystery out of cooking, to bring humor and lightheartedness, to get people to go, oh, well, you know, sometimes people are scared to get in the kitchen. Well, what if I burn it, or what if it tastes awful?
Right.
I would say, you know what? You're going to have to break a few eggs to get the omelet right. And if you don't make a mistake, and if you don't burn something, and if you don't make something absolutely horrendous, you're never going to learn. So it's, yeah. Well, I also like to cross-reference the recipes with the Witch of Catfish Prairie and the cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
That gets into that I always make my own fresh tortillas. And I thought,
right.
well, what about catfish etouffee on cornbread? And then I thought, oh, well, I could make cornbread pancakes and then spoon that on top of that and fold it over and eat it like a taco.
Right.
So, again, you take this cross-cultural ideas, you blend it. It's taking Mexican food and Indian food and
yeah.
bringing them together.
So let's talk about this recipe. Cookies, surefire elixir of demon removal. Okay, that's absolutely way out there. And that just name would intrigue anyone to read this page, the story and the recipe. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Cookies, surefire of elixir of demon removal. That is, that's my salsa recipe. I mean, I'm admittedly, I eat very, very, very hot food. And I thought, well, let's do something medieval. I was reading up on Haitian voodoo and folklore, where in the 1800s, they would use hot chili peppers to exercise demonic possession.
Mm-hmm.
And having been a teenager and played Dungeons and Dragons, I thought, yeah, why not have a party of adventurers?
Mm.
And so they've been in the dungeon. They've exercised the undead Lich King, and they're in town celebrating, but something has to go wrong, as all things do go in the story, to create some kind of drama. Sir Harold, he unfortunately stared into the lich's eyes as he slew it, and he was spooked. Anyway, so the soul transferred from the Lich King to Sir Harold, who ended up being possessed. And the cleric of the party, the holy man, the healer, did not know how to stop it, but the cook knew. Because sometimes cooks know things that people don't.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, you know what that one is? This one is, though, of demon removal. This is almost like our Bloody Mary mix here in the South. You know, we're land of the voodoo. So that's exactly, that's the mix you would use for your Bloody Marys, you know, or any kind of liquor afterwards you would pour into it. And that's what a lot of people love here. Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. That would be a Cajun Mary, I believe is what they call it.
You'll have to add that in, right?
Again, more and more information, which is wonderful. Yeah.
It's absolutely cool. You know, well, I really think that your book would be great in a lot of farmers markets, and it would also be great at maybe some Renaissance festivals. Hopefully you'll be able to get it in there, because a lot of people really do love to hear stories. And I think really we should this year, you know, 2015, start writing some things down. A lot of people are saying, oh, well, I don't know how to write. Well, there's a lot of programs out there. All you have to do is just write it as you would a letter on your computer, and then all it does is it just drops it into one page, and you turn the page and you go to the next one. So it's really about being able to easily get things together in your family, and don't lose sight of all of that history behind us, because my goodness, if you look behind, there is so much history. Now we're just moving too fast. People just have no concept of what's going on. Putting pictures on their phone, they never even look back at them again, you know? They're like, they could look at it 2 days later and say, I have no idea what that is, whatever, and delete it. So, like, make a little bit more of a mark, you know, on history. I really think that's so vitally important in this era.
Yes, making a mark and getting people into the kitchen is very, very important to me. And I love the farmer's market idea and the Renaissance fair idea as well. Those are two avenues that I have not pursued yet, which I
think they would be great there.
I think they would be too. And I appreciate your advice on figuring out where the niche is for these recipes.
You know, absolutely. I think, you know, as the listeners, if you have any place that you'd like to see Eric's book, please do contact Eric. His link will be on the bottom of today's show page description. You can click directly there and be able to find out more information about him and how to purchase his book. And also, you know, even if you're just getting it on your computer, you could print it out and make your own little book with it. You know, it'll be a nice little handbook, and, you know, hand it to your grandmother, pass it around to all the elders in your family, and have them put little notes on the pages and have them adjust it and say, oh, I add this, and then put your grandmother's name, or I add that and put your aunt's name, or say, oh, I have a better one and write it in the bottom. Because then it really becomes a treasure. You really make it all your own, and I think really that's the goal of cooking, and that's the goal of telling stories. So I really, really think that that's so vitally important. And you really gave them a good template to start from.
Thank you very much. The website's name is AuthorEricJohnson.com, and there's a link that says find out more about Tales from the Cook at the top of the page.
You know, Eric, it was a pleasure to have you with us today. I think this is a great book, so I really encourage everyone. You know, hey, kindergarten classes would love this too. They can put theirs in the same pages too. We just never know. So for all the listeners, if you have any other venue that you'd like to have Eric bring his books or share his books with you, please do contact Eric directly on his show page. Eric, thank you so much for joining us. This is a great fun time today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. I've had fun
as well.
Well,
thank you. Can you share with us, so your website name is, and do you have anything else in the cooking, as we should say? What are you working on next?
Currently, I'm working on two other novels. One being, it's called Dawn of Daycare. It's a parenting guide for the zombie apocalypse. And I'm working on a third book for a trilogy that I've written, which will remain secret until I have a better idea of what it's all going to be all about. But I write every day, and I'm writing so many different things. It's a good exercise in organization. Anyway, for people who are interested in finding more about what I've written, you can go to AuthorEricJohnson.com. And there's a link on the top that says find out more about Tales from the Cook, which will take you to the Amazon site where you can purchase it.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And hopefully when you have those other books ready, you'll get back to us and join us then, right?
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more about Eric Johnson and his book, Tales from the Cook, please do check on the bottom of today's show page. There will be a link directly to his website. And please do start writing some things down. You know, this land of woohoo, you know, is in your computer. It's in your cell phone. And not everybody can relate or be able to connect to all this information. You know, when people pass on, their life in their computer just dies with a computer because so many people say, I don't know how to access it. Oh, look at all this stuff, you know, or what are all these icons on here? And I don't even have their passwords. And many people's stories get locked up in these machines and they go out to the garbage. You know, we really don't want to do that anymore unless, you know, start to print out some things off of your computer, start to add your personal touch to them, you know, and start to put some of your own handmade books out on some shelves versus having, you know, computers and all kinds of electronics. So please do, I think, print out and be able to purchase Tales from the Cook from Eric. It is a wonderful book for anybody from kindergarten on up. The kindergartners, you could tell their stories. They'll sit there and laugh and think it's so funny. You know, the older kids, you know, they could say, oh, well, I don't know how to make that, but, oh, this sounds really cool. It'll take them 10 minutes. Or, you know, you could look at something else and you could say, yeah, I remember that from my grandmother, and maybe I should write it down. And even if you're a grandparent, you could say, you know, I'm going to fix this a little bit because my recipe is a little different, and, you know, I'm going to give this book to my grandchildren, and maybe they'll love that. And I think they will. So please do check out the book. Again, it's Tales from the Cook by Eric Johnson. And it was absolutely a pleasure to have you with us today on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and please have a wonderful day. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.